Praise the Lord. What a privilege being here. I thank the Lord for the privilege to be here. I thank the Lord for Pastor, his wife, the ministry here. Thank you that are here. I just want to make a little advertisement for prayer conference, November 4th and 5th. See my wife. There's a sign-up list out there. Room number, who you want to room with. All this kind of stuff. I couldn't imagine you not want to room with anybody because we're brothers and sisters. Amen. While you're standing, let's just look at the word of the Lord. 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 1 through 11. 2 Peter chapter 2, 1 through 11. You're going to stay awake with me? Praise the Lord. I believe that the Lord has something to share to us with us this evening. It says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Let's just say that together. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. And this word godliness means holiness. Through the knowledge of him that have called us to glory and virtue. Let's read it together. Whereby are we given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Now pay attention. That by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly in the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let's just close our eyes. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we bless your name. We give you praise. We give you glory. Your word is so perfect. Your word is so pure. Oh Lord God, we want to live out your word. We need to live out your word. We got to live out your word, Lord God. We asking, minister to us, oh God, let us understand what your word is trying to speak to us in this very moment, in this very hour, oh Lord God. Let there be, oh God, a people rising up to live, oh Lord God, according to the promises of God that are made to us, oh God. We bless your name, Father. We give you thanks. We give you glory and honor, Lord God. In Jesus' mighty name, manifest yourself, oh Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Let's clap your hands. Hallelujah. You may be seated. If I could boast a little bit about this church, I'm very glad to be in this congregation. As a matter of fact, maybe I should say, I am very glad to be in this organization and in the Church of Jesus Christ, most of all. Let's just clap our hands for that. It's not once or twice have I invited someone, maybe the same thing happened to you, and they come here and they they see what goes on here and they say, you know, there is something about this place. I remember a lady from my job, I invited her and she came here with her daughter. And the first time they came in, the Lord filled her and her daughter with the Holy Ghost. And I saw her at work and she was telling other workers that she works with. And she saw me. She said, your church is full of the Spirit. She doesn't know how to put it, but she said, this place here is full of the Spirit. So I just kind of boasted a little bit of what the hand of the Lord has been doing among us and what the hand of the Lord is doing among us. So I'm happy. I hope you are also of being part of this congregation. This past Sunday, I had two cousins of mine and another friend of mine we went to high school with that were here. And one of them is a singer. He's a worldly singer, and one of my cousins, and he came at 3 o'clock service, and they were sitting there, and they sat there, you know, they don't really do anything, so you don't really know what goes on through their minds when they sit there. So he sat there, and after service, I got down there, we were praying with people, and he saw me. He said, man, there's something in this place. He says, you are part of something big. He said, you are part of something big. And I said, you know, can I pray for you? And he quickly lifted up his hands and I prayed for him. And he went on and flew out to New York at around 6 or 7 o'clock or whatever, the same day, 8 o'clock, I believe, the same day. And he got to New York and he texted me. He said, the church is nice. He said, I was just telling my wife about it. Could you tell me the name of your church again? And he asked me, how did you find this church? And I told him, you know, how it began in New York, how the Lord led me to this church. So I was just excited. And my other cousin, he got to the house and we were playing some Because of the Time CDs. And he was watching the thing and he was just amazed by what he was seeing. I mean, he was glued to the TV. He could not understand everything. He could understand some things. He was from Haiti. But he just glued to that thing, looking at it. And when he was done, he said, is that it? Do you have more? Because he was glued to what the Lord is doing, to the excitement of the people. And so I'm excited that people that do not know God can find something that they're attracted to. And we see that all through the scriptures. People are attracted to Jesus. People that did not know religion, they were readily attracted to Jesus. So we said, I said all these things to say this. Recently, I've had sometimes in my hand, I haven't been working for a while now. My job is just real slow, looking for work, can't find work. And I just sat in and, you know, really fill myself with the word of the Lord and, you know, listening to stuff and so forth. And I was driving with my wife. We were talking about, you know, Christianity and religion that are under Christianity. And something came to my head. It says, you know, I don't know if it was the Lord speaking to me. And he said, If you look at other people and you grade yourself, if you use them as the measuring stick, you will not be saved. The Lord says, if you compare yourself, because one of my cousins, he had been to a church in the morning and he came, he said, this is nothing like what I was in. And of course, I was glad to hear that. But the Lord ministered and said, you know what? If you look at how bad people are doing and you measure yourself by them, you will not be saved. So this afternoon, this night, I just want to talk for a few minutes about the big gap. The big gap. The big gap. Are you with me? In the book of Isaiah, in the book of Revelation, rather, the scripture speaks of the seven spirit of the Lord. And in the book of Isaiah, chapter 11, verses 2 and 3, it says this. And said that the Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might. And that's Jesus. The scripture is prophetically talking about Jesus. It says the Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him, the spirit of wisdom, the spirit of understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of the eye, neither reprove after the hearing of the ears. Because as people spoke about the church, it is easy for us to build an altar on what they say and say, you know what, we're sure better than the rest of them. We're definitely better because we didn't say it, but sinners say that we're better. Sinners say that we're better than them. And if we look at their seeking God and we say, you know what, we have sought God enough because they have not been seeking God at all. And therefore, we are so much better. But Jesus said he will not be judging by what they say. His judgment shall be according to righteousness. Paul said he doesn't judge himself. Jesus said that he does not bear witness of himself, but he says the Father bears witness of himself. Paul said, I do not judge myself. He let God judge him. Paul said in the scripture that God confirms his word with signs and wonders and the gift of the Holy Ghost. And I know we've had quite a bit among us, people receiving the Holy Ghost. We've had people baptizing in Jesus' name, and we have had few people claiming healings. But I still believe that there's more to being partaker of the divine nature, as we just read in the book of 2 Peter. Partaker of the divine nature. The word partake, to partake, it means to participate in the divine nature, to be part of the divine nature. The Bible says we have escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust. Now, it's one thing for us to separate ourselves from this world. We separate ourselves in the way we dress, the way we speak, the way we act, and all these things we have done. But the scripture says the promises of God, they make us to be partakers of God's nature. He said, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust. It's one thing to have escaped the corruption, but it's another thing to partake of the divine nature. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. John 1 verse 18. John 1 verse 18 says, no men have seen the Father at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. No one hath seen the Father at any time. But the scripture says the only begotten that is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. I just want you to stay with me for a little bit. The word declared, what it means is he manifested God. Are you with me? He manifested God. It says no man has seen God. Now, Jesus did not come to show the works of God. Because if you read all through the Old Testament, God has been working. Miracles did not start in the New Testament. God opened the Red Sea in the Old Testament. God walked among men and spoke to Abraham. In the Old Testament, God burned Sodom and Gomorrah. In the Old Testament, God did marvelous things in the eyes of the Egyptians in Egypt. In the Old Testament, prophets were able to raise the dead. In the Old Testament, are you with me? All these things happened in the Old Testament. So Jesus, when he operated miracles, it was not to say that, you know, God can operate miracles. The people have seen the hand of God. Israel had a history of seeing the hand of God. But there was something Jesus had above all the prophets. Jesus had one thing. He had the divine nature operating through him. Every prophet at one point or another, the humanness of that prophet steps out. And then they fell this way, and they fell that way. They were not able to declare the character of God. Moses had seen the hand of God many times.
He seen the hand of God many times, but he wanted to know who God is. He said, show me now your ways that I may know you. Because it is not necessary to see the hand of God. Because just because you see the hand of God does not mean you know God. You see what I'm saying? The prophets, many of the prophets had seen the hand of God. But we read about many of them at one point or another had a character flaw. They fell. They were men like us. Jesus stepped on the scene. He did miracles. John the Baptist said, are you the Christ or should we wait for another? He just did some miracles at the very time to show that he was God, the same God who was God in the Old Testament doing great things. He could do it also. So he did some and showed to John. But he said something to John. He said, blessed are they that are not offended. Because Jesus did not just come to see to show the works of God. He came to show the character of God. He manifested the character of God in every way, in every sense of the word. He manifested. The scripture says that God was manifest in the flesh. Who God is. His character, not so much his ability. He showed his ability in creation. His ability is matchless in creation. He showed that. So it was not the fact that, well, can he or couldn't he? But what he was declaring was the way that God was, the fidelity of God. The Bible calls him the perfect, the faithful witness, the perfect witness, the perfect witness. He declared God. He declared to the people who God was. If you read in the New Testament, you will not find one character flaw in Jesus Christ. There was not a time when he lied. There was not a time when he failed. There was not a time when he backed down because of pressure. There was not a time he was anything less than what God was. There was not a time. In character, there was not a time. He was forgiving. He was loving. The Bible says he loved his own. He loved them to the end. The meek, the broken, the awkward, the backwards, they were attracted to him. That's why I'm glad being part of this church. Because the sinner comes here and says, man, I love this. That's part of the character of God. I was thinking for a moment. Satan has no fear of a person that shouts. Satan has no fear because we come here and we dance around, we speak with new tongues, and we do all these things. That doesn't move him. So, if there's anything that's going to make him afraid, is a person that's going to stand on the promises of God. Is a person that's going to stand on the promises of God. No matter what the situation is. Jesus prayed. He said, I don't pray for myself. I pray because of these. Because I know you always hear me. That's part of his character. He understood that God is faithful. And part of this Christian character is to believe God. The Bible says Abraham believed God. And it was counted unto him for righteousness. So Jesus, when he prayed, he didn't pray for himself per se, but he says, I ask this, let it be done so that they can see. Because I'm declaring every part of you, your faithfulness, your unchangingness, your invariableness. He declared the characters of God. We can pray. We can dance. We can shout. There's nothing like a church that just talks and has nothing going on. I boast when my friends come and say, you know, that your church is so and so. I said, you know what? Did you know that God just did this? Did you know that God just healed somebody here? Did you know that God just did something else? Because the Bible says that this thing we are part of, the gospel, it is not in word. It's in power. It's not in word. The scripture says, I have not given you a spirit of fear, of bondage against to fear, but it says of power, love, and of a sound mind. You know why Jesus could not be moved? He knew who he was, and he stuck every moment to who he was. You could not make him afraid. You could not move him. You could call a whole congregation against him. He stood because he had a Christian character. As a matter of fact, he was the epitome of the thing. But the Bible says we are given some precious promises. He says it's by these promises. Now, the promises, I know a lot of time when people preach about the promises of God, people get real excited. You love it. Bible says no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Bible says when you go through the fire, it will not burn you. The flame will not kindle over you. When you go through the waters, I will be with you. And it says the rivers, they will not overflow you. Now this sounds good. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Now how about if when I say the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, and I really meant that. How about if this became a character trait of mine? That's when I say the Lord is my shepherd. Therefore, when I look at my bank account, it has nothing in it. I say the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Hallelujah. That's what happens when all the congregation rose up against Jesus. He understood who he was. He would not move because he understood he was God manifest in the flesh. Therefore, every character trait that God had, he had to manifest it. He said, he sent me, therefore I send you. He says, just as the Father sent me, so I send you. The Father sent him. And if you read toward the end of his ministry, he said, I have glorified your name. There was not a time when it came that I brought shame to you. There was not a time when they came against me that I rejected you. There was not a time when they came against me that I turned my back on you. He said, I glorified you. I manifested your name in this world. I manifested your name in this world. I manifested your name in this world. And we read it together. The scripture said, he hath provided all things that pertains to life and godliness. Godliness is holiness. And he provided all these things. Peter called the people. Just look at it real quick here. What Peter says. He says, you are Simon, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have been obtained like precious faith with us. The same faith that Peter had. He said, we are in the same faith. We obtain like precious faith, the same faith we got. And Peter and John, they stood in front of the council. And they said, I dare you to speak in the name of this guy anymore. He said, whether it's good to listen to God or listen to men, we will listen to God. So he declared Jesus before the council. He declared Jesus because you know what? Every promise that God has made is true. And the scripture said that he has made possible for us to live the life and to proceed in godliness, holiness in this world. Peter used it. John used it. Paul used it. And it's available to you and I to walk in the promises of God. If not, all we're doing is getting excited about nothing. All we're doing is getting excited about nothing. Paul said, when I came to you, I did not come with enticing words of men's wisdom, but it said, I came with power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost. You know what happens? The character of Jesus, it was almost impossible from his character point to not have miracles. It was impossible because it came with his character. It came with his character. He was God, manifest. And he said to God, I manifested your name to this world. Now, if he was God manifest and he sent us, we are manifesting him to this world. We're manifesting Jesus to this world. Now, you could pray as much as you want to in your closet, but man, somebody need to manifest God to this world. You can talk in tongue as much as you want to, but somebody needs to manifest God in this world, in character, Christian character. Persons that has faith, hope, and love. Faith, hope, and love. Peter said, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. And to virtue, knowledge. And to knowledge, temperance. Just let the word sink in a little bit. And to temperance, patience. And to patience, godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. I wrote by these basic Christian character building block. I believe that God has no problem finding somebody to operate a miracle. But what I pray and I confess to God and often is that he's so afraid that I will get puffed up. Therefore, he's protecting me. In protecting me, the hand of the Lord is waxed short because we're the body of Christ. Now, if we can possess the building blocks or the foundations of godly character, I believe that the Lord will do more. But because it seems like oftentimes we are ever unstable. We are ever unstable. Miracles are not the hardest things for God. I believe the hardest things for God is to find a person that has godly characters. Above all the spoken words. I mean, you could keep the words. A person that has godly characters. A person that portrays Jesus in this world. A person that portrays Jesus in this world. Godly characters. Bible has a lot of exciting stories and people jump around about them. You know, you get all excited when the preacher preaches. The scripture said he's given us a sound mind. Bible says these promises are for us. Jesus said, I give you peace. He says, I give you joy. You shout on Sunday and you go home on Monday. Something takes your joy away. You shout on Monday, on Sunday, you go home on, even the same night, something takes your peace away. I don't believe that the Lord has anxiety moments where he's just scratching his head. He doesn't know what to do. Because the Bible says it's by these promises you partake of the divine nature. When you partake, that means you participate. You be like God by these promises, the promise of faith, the promise of joy and peace and love and happiness, all these things that the Lord promised us. It's when we enter inside the promise. That's when we become partaker. Or else you could speak it like you want to. Until you enter inside the promise, you are not a partaker of the promises of God. There was a man in the New Testament. We read about him, Simeon. The Bible says that he would not die until he saw the Lord's Christ. You know what that means? In order for Simeon to enter the promises of God, every time a sickness came upon him, he would have to say to the sickness, "You are not unto death, because I will not die until I see the Lord's Christ." Every time something happened to him, he said, "I will not die until I see the Lord's Christ." I'm trying to get something in your head. If you can understand entering the promises, entering the word of the Lord, living by the promises of God. Hallelujah. Jesus, I give you glory. The Bible says, by these promises, you become partaker of the divine nature. If you're living and you are riddled with fear and anxiety, you have not obtained the divine nature. You have not obtained it. You're not living there yet. If every little thing that rolls your boat or rocks your boat changes your character, if you will, if it attacks your character and your scruples, you're not even having the foundations yet. Even if you shout and dance, even if you run around the aisle. But if you do not have these foundations, add to your faith, patience, knowledge, virtue. We need those building blocks. Bible says, by these promises, we become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust. We have escaped the corruption. But are we partaking of his nature? Are we becoming like him, or are we believing empty words? Are we believing empty words if we are not walking in the promises? Because the Bible says, having escaped, we have to partake by those promises. By those promises. By the promises. The Bible says, by his stripes I am healed. I walk in this promise and I bind myself to it. The Bible says, no weapons formed against me shall prosper. I bind myself to this promise. I walk in it because I gotta be a partaker of the divine nature. Hallelujah. Jesus. Hallelujah. Jesus said, destroy this body, and in 3 days I will raise it up. You know what he was doing? He was walking in the divine nature, because there is a promise that will not leave his soul in hell. Neither will those suffer the Holy One to see corruption. Therefore, he said, I will get up. You will kill me. I will rise up. Because you know what? He partook of the divine nature, and he understood no weapon, no weapon, no weapon, no weapon, no weapon formed against him would prosper. Hallelujah. 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 Jesus. The scripture says, by faith, Abraham. Pastor spoke of this not too far back, about Abiathar and David. David had a promise of God upon him. And therefore, when Saul went after him, he killed the sons of Abimelech, I believe the priest, the high priest, and only Abiathar made it out. He said to Abiathar, stay with me. Because he says, as long as you're with me, nothing will happen to you. You know why? Because there was a promise upon David, and David understood, I have to enter the promise of God in order to live in the divine nature. I have to partake of it. So therefore, God made the promise. He just bound himself to the promise. He said, I will not die until I become king of Israel. He wasn't king of Israel yet. Therefore, when they were pursuing him, he understood, I will not die. I will not die. Because him that made the promise, he's real, he's true, he's faithful. He will not lie. There's no variableness nor shadow of turning in him. So he entered the promise of God. The Bible says that by these promises, if you just keep this in your head, by these promises, when I want to get anxious, I remember. Jesus said, my peace. He says, peace I leave with you. My peace give I unto you. Not as the world give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So therefore, when I want to be anxious, I understand. If I were living by the world's standard, if I were living by the world's character, it would make sense. But I say, let me just enter the promise of God a little bit and just enter into his peace. Recently, I was driving. I was looking for work and just put out all kinds of applications and all the headaches that come with it. And I was driving back home, and I felt down. And something said, as something spoke to me and said, go home and sit down, find yourself a movie, and just lay back and relax. And I was driving, and then this thought came to me. I said, this is an emotional problem. And the Lord says, I give you joy. Amen. I said, okay, Lord, I surrender my emotion to you. Give me your joy. Give me your joy. I will not go and sit in front of a movie and then watch a movie. I will not do it. I said, Lord, give me joy. Give me joy. And the joy of the Lord became my strength. I went home and I pop up a DVD of somebody preaching about soul winning. The next thing you know, I was lifted up because he is my joy. Unless I walk inside that joy, all I have is words. Unless I walk inside the promise of God and I take it for myself, all I have is empty words. Somebody got to begin to grasp the thing that God has promised you. Therefore, we're going to be like God. And when we become like God, we're going to be able to affect our generation. We're going to affect our world because we have the divine nature working in us. The divine nature working in us. There's nothing that can stop the divine nature. Hallelujah. You may be seated. It's 8:10. I don't know what time I'm supposed to be off. I guess 8:15. There's nothing that can stop the divine nature. The Bible says the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. As a matter of fact, the divine nature is not even defensive. It's offensive. The divine nature is offensive. You enter into the enemy's territory and you do something because there's nothing formed against us. Nothing. No weapon, nothing formed against us can prosper. God. Giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue, knowledge, and to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, that means they're in you and they're growing in you. They're in you and they're taking over. The fear is being taken over. That hot temper is being taken over by temperance. And the Bible says they abound. They begin to grow in you. They grow in you. And they make you that you will not fall. Because when we do fall, it's when we take our human character. We take the human character. We don't manifest him when we fall because he never fails. But if these things be in us and abound, they make us that we shall not fall. But the scripture says, he that lacketh these things. Now take this. That's Christian character. The scripture says, the people that do not have these things, they're not even in this thing. They're not in these things. The scripture says that they're blind. They don't know where they're going. I mean, they talk smart. They could dance the dance and then pray the prayer, but they don't have the foundations. Love one another, the scripture says. Love one another. Quick story. I have 2 minutes. Somebody called us, a sister, not in this church, called us and said, you know what? Could you lend us so much money? And my wife and I said, you know what? I mean, before anything, we just said no. Like, period. Before anything, we just all agreed in our head and said no, because the person borrowed some money from us and just totally forgot about it before. And we said no. I mean, we said totally no. And plus, I'm not working. I had more than one excuse. And I said to my wife, take the scripture, open it up a little bit. Give me a Bible. I took a Bible. And I began to read the Beatitudes. Bible says, though there are certain things people in the world do. He said, the people in the world do these things. He said, what do you more than them? What do you, if you just give to your friend, if you just give to people you wish will give it back, what do you more than the world? And you know what? I looked at the scripture and I say, there is a Christian character here. There's a Christian principle here. Do I want America to tell me how to live for God, or am I going to receive it from the scripture? The scripture, the saying goes, you can let a bird fly over your nest, your head, but don't let it make a nest. Except the only thing is I didn't see it in the scripture. I looked at the scripture. Jesus said, give to them that ask. He said, and to them that would borrow of thee, do not turn away. That's what he says. That's Christian character, Christian principle, because the Bible says he is good to the unthankful. He is good to the people that he gives them. They go, they don't give them thanks back, and they come again for more. We are like that to him. The Bible says he's good to them. But the scripture says, add to your faith. Virtue means goodness. That's what it means. So you are good. You're good. You give. The person takes from you, you give again. The person takes, you give again. The person slap you on this cheek, you give them the other one. That's what the scripture preaches. That's against what the world teaches, against what the country teaches. I'm just saying that we have a great congregation. But what I'm saying is, if we compare ourselves to another congregation, we might just way miss the word of the Lord, like by a great distance. You see what I'm saying? It's 15, so I'm ending. John the Baptist said, if you have two coats and a person has none, give them one. It didn't say if you have 10 coats, you can give one. Or if you have 1,000, you can give 100. It says if you have two and your neighbor has none, give one. Is there somebody that's going to manifest Jesus in this world? Is there a person? Let's just stand together. Is there someone that's going to manifest the glory of the Lord, the goodness of the Lord, his mercifulness? Oh, his loving kindness and his tender mercy. Is there someone that's going to take the character of Jesus in every way, that the world will see your good works and they will glorify God? They will see how much you love one another and they'll say, God is good. Surely God has done this thing in their lives, and they give God glory just because you love, just because you give, just because you manifest him in all his goodness, in all his mercy, in all his faithfulness. Hallelujah. Let's just lift up our hands together. Heavenly Father, we give you glory. We give you praise. We give you honor, Lord. There's none like you, Jesus. Surely you are good. Surely your mercy endures forever. Surely your word is true. Surely you are faithful. Surely you have made great promises unto us, O God. And we believe that we will walk in them. We believe that we will walk in the promises of God. Someone just begin to claim the promise of God. for you. The promise of peace, the promise of joy, the promise of power, love, and of a sound mind. Lord God, we receive these things by the power that is in the name of Jesus. We give you glory. We lift you up, O God. We lift you up, O God, and we will manifest your name in this world. We will manifest you, O God, in this world. Just clap your hands to Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Encourage a brother. Hallelujah. Encourage your neighbor. Pray for your neighbor. Next time you step out, just remember you are Jesus on a mission. You are the body of Jesus on a mission to manifest the Lord and operate, receive, and claim all the promises of God, because by these we partake of the divine nature. Greet someone. Praise the Lord.